Now I would like to introduce to you Apostle Andrew Montgomery from Northern Ireland. Can we welcome him, please? Give you just a bit of history if you don't know who this man is. We have been in relationship since 2003. He has traveled with me in how many countries?
24.
24. I think it's 27, but 24 or 27 will be a good number. Thank you very much. We have ministered all over the world. He has started AMI intern program. If you're newer here, AMI is Acts Ministries International. It is our apostolic to the world outreach from this church. Been going on for many years as well. Now there's a branch of that that Andrew is the leader of in Northern Ireland and beyond. He also has an intern program there and have just taken number 50.
Just about to take number 50.
Just about to take number 50 in an intern program. I don't have time to describe to you what that is. But powerful and life-changing it has been. He is also one of the elders on our elder team here. So we like having a translocal elder if we can, and we do, and that is an Andrew. So he's here for the special meeting, and he's here to share with us this morning. So could we give him a good welcome?
Good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to be back. Love the weather. Two hands for the weather. Like that. I bring you greetings from Destination Church Belfast and also from Miss Hilly, or Hillary, my wife, who's unable to be with us today and will also be unable to be with us at the summit next year because we're expecting our fourth grandchild. So daughter's daughter and so needs to be there for all that activity. So yesterday was our eldest son's birthday party. He's five, Noah. And so he got lots of presents. So I come to you today bearing gifts. I am confident that if you receive it by your spirit, you will enjoy the gift that I bring. It's going to be an impartation of faith, and it's going to release the fruit of peace and of passion. In Romans 1, 11 to 12, it says, "For I long to see you, so that I may share with you some spiritual gift to strengthen and establish you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged and comforted by each other's faith, both yours and mine." The beauty of being a carrier and bringer is that if you're giving, 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 then you're receiving, receiving, receiving. It's a law, a spiritual law. So I love to come amongst you. I have never, ever, 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 ever left this place not being encouraged and built up. And I hope that I can bring something. Sorry, let me rephrase that. I am bringing something to you this morning that will encourage you and build you up. This is not, this message will have content, but it's not a message to the mind. It's a message to the spirit because it is the spirit that brings life. John 6, 63. So the text this morning is from Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." The title of my message this morning is Unswerving Hope, from verse 23. Unswerving, in other translations, is described as cling, seize, hold fast, firmly, tightly, take a firm grip without hesitation, wavering, or doubt. So my guilty pleasure is the NFL. What can I tell you? So once a week, I watch the highlights show, and I don't have a favorite team. I love the whole. I love chess, and it's chess and sport. It's just the use of the clock and all the rest of it. But the word that I wanted you to get, unswerving word, is most wonderfully encapsulated by the running back. Right now, there's a running back that just pops out, a guy called Christian McCaffrey from the Panther Carolinas. He's not very big, pretty muscly, but that guy, I mean, he's so athletic. He's, and everybody goes, and he flies that way, they're going this way, he's going that way. He can leap over people, he can go through all these tackles and things, but if he doesn't unswervingly hold on to the ball, he might look good, he might move like a rocket, but if he doesn't hold unswervingly onto the ball, he's doomed. Play, down, finished. And I love this to see, I'm from a rugby background, so we don't do that. We're all, it's much more flowing. That's, rugby's a game where real men play contact sports without helmets and pads. But when they're ready for the play, they do this. You seen that? They're gonna give it to the run. They do that because when he locks in, he's not gonna let go. And when people make the mistake, they're coming up and they think, I just hand him off, and they hand him off, and then suddenly the ball pops unswervingly. Guy called Rick Rayner unpacks Greek words, has a number of books, and his paraphrase of the Greek word for unswerving, which is katechō, is, and let us hold fast to our confession, tightly wrapping our arms around it and embracing it with all our might, rejecting all attempts of anyone who tries to steal it from us. Hold unswervingly. What are we holding unswervingly to? Verse 23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. The ball is hope. Dallas Willard said, hope is the anticipation of unseen good not here yet. Why do we hold unswervingly to hope? Verse 23 again, for, or in other translations, because, knowing he who promised is faithful. Because he who promised is faithful, or in other translations, keeps his word, keeps his promises, is reliable, trustworthy, utterly dependable. The foundation and basis of our hope is rock solid. The basis of our hope is rock solid. We can be sure of the unseen good. Why? Because God is good and his love endures forever. Not God does good things to us. His attribute, his very attribute is good. He expresses good, but he is good. And God is faithful. Again, he is faithful. His promises are true. It's his essence. It's his presence. It's rock solid. Guaranteed. And because he is faithful, he cannot deny himself. 2 Timothy 2:13. Although we are faithless, he cannot deny disowning himself. He cannot do it. It is not possible. It is not in him. Therefore, we can hold unswervingly to hope. Well, how can you be sure of that? Because he says that he will not disappoint in all circumstances. And every situation, the highs and lows, the dark, the light, the pain, the difficulty, the joy, the wonder. He will not disappoint. Isaiah 49:23. Those who hope in me will not be disappointed. He is faithful. He is good and he is love. Yes, he's loving, but he is love. 1 John 4:8. He is love, and defined in 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient and kind. It always protects, always hopes, always trusts, always perseveres. Love never fails. And I guarantee you, and this is not condemnation and this is judgment, because this is a Romans 8 verse 1 house. We do not do condemnation or judgment. We may do conviction, and if the Holy Spirit is convicting you about what I'm going to say, let it come, because he convicts us onto something, and it's always our best. He's not trying to put us down. He's trying to do something. So I got a vision today in the worship that when Dennis was talking about, give him the key. Give him the key and let him have his way. And he was walking into people's rooms, and he was going on their in their kitchen, hey, that's way out of date. Get rid of that. That's a lie. Get rid of that. No, get rid of that. I want to put in that. Anyone who wobbles with hope, and I know, I have, I may not have worn your shoes, and you haven't worn my shoes, but anybody who wobbles or struggles is because they do not have that certainty about that God is faithful, God is good, and God is love. Now, I and you have been in situations, I don't know what is happening here. I don't know what, but I know this. He's good. He is good. He is faithful. He is love. So I'm going to hold unswerving to that. And because I hold unswerving to that, then whatever happens, I'm going to get through. Amen? So let's be receiving peace today. 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times, in every way." Well, that may not be our experience, but if we can hold unswervingly to hope in the God who is good, the God who is faithful, the God who is love, then peace comes. Peace beyond our understanding, because the circumstances, peace is not an emotion you're supposed to have in a circumstance like that. But you can obtain, you can possess peace. Biblical example, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel 3. King Nebuchadnezzar builds a golden image and he says, does a decree to the people, whenever you hear the orchestra, the instruments, everybody's got to hit the deck and worship that golden image. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they ain't playing. So think of the picture. Maybe it's a shopping precinct, and suddenly over the tannoy comes the... Everybody hits the deck, and there's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego just standing there. He ain't doing it. Are they full of bravado? No. Are they full of pride? No. But they ain't doing it. So Nebuchadnezzar hears about this. He is mad as mad. And he challenges Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And in Daniel 3, 16 to 18, this is what they say to him as he challenges them to the fact that they did not bow the knee to the image and defied his command. King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves in this matter. If the God we serve is able to deliver us, then he will deliver us from the fiery furnace and your majesty's hand. Left that piece out. That's the point. So those that defied him, those that didn't bend the knee and bow, would get thrown in the fiery furnace. So they defied him. The next verse indicates that it was not out of pride and it was not out of bravado because of what they say. But even if God does not, we want you to know, your majesty, respectful, we will not serve your gods or worship the image of God you have set up. They were basically saying, do your worst, because we hope unswervingly in the God that we believe and know to be faithful, good, and love, even if he doesn't save us. Unswerving hope. So they said, do your worst, King Nebuchadnezzar. He did. It says that he stoked the furnace to 7 times its normal heat, which really means to the max, 7 being the number of completion. He got his strongest soldiers to tie them up and to throw them into the furnace. The furnace was so hot that his strongest soldiers were killed in throwing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace. And then he's looking and he's going, hold on a second, guys. He's going, I thought we threw 3 men into the furnace. I can see 4. And he looks like the Son of God. And then they called Shadrach, Meshach, come out, come out, come out of the furnace. And people crowded around. And then verse 27, it says, they saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Amen. It was undeniable. King Nebuchadnezzar declared, praise God. Praise the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There's been an angel that has come to rescue them. And I decree, because they trusted and defied me, and their God provided, that anyone who says anything against their God will be sliced and diced. That's my paraphrase. But cut into pieces. Sliced and diced. Sliced and diced. So what did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do? Well, they held unswervingly to the hope. But they did not bow. And they did not bend. And they did not burn. They did not bow. They did not bend. They did not burn. Unswerving hope. Are you experiencing the heat of the fire? Do you feel that it's going to consume you? Do you feel, I just hold on. Do not bow to that. Do not bend to that. Do not burn in that. Hold on with unswerving hope. No matter what it looks like. No matter what it sounds like. No matter what they're saying. No matter what. I just don't see. Hold on. Unswerving hope. That He is good. That He is faithful. That He is love. Isaiah 43, 1-3. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Hope on Him. Hope on Him. Unswervingly, hope on Him. And you will not bow, and you will not bend, and you will not burn. Now, sometimes when we give these analogies of physical strength and perseverance and tenaciousness, whatever it is, we can tend to let the physical and the soul rise up for the application of that. So we can think, if I could just press in and hold on, if I could just work it out with my mind and press in with my will and feel it in my emotions of my soul, then we're going to get it. If you do that, you will miss it. We have to recognize that unswerving hope is a spiritual thing. For as the Spirit gives life, the flesh profits nothing. If it's in our physical, just making it happen, if it's in our mind, will, and emotions, the fire will consume us. We got to hold on by the Spirit. We hope in a God who is Spirit. That Spirit is faithful. That Spirit is good. That Spirit is love. And we don't miss this, or we will miss it. 1 Corinthians 2:14. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them, because they are discerned only through the Spirit. If this seems new or strange, or how can you stand in a fire and survive? It's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. Get connected spirit to spirit. Don't try to work it up or work it out or feel it, because it won't deliver what you need. It will seem even foolishness to you from that perspective, because it's not possible. We're outnumbered. We're overwhelmed. But in the Spirit, He is a Spirit of love. He is faithful. He is good. But we are opposed. We know we are opposed in three very obvious ways. The internal battle of that soul and the spirit. In the message in Romans 7, I'm going to skim through the verses and take bits out that apply to the point I'm trying to make. Romans 7, 14 to 25. What I don't understand about myself is that I decide one way and then I act another, doing things I absolutely despise. I realize that I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. I decide to do good, but I don't really do it. I decide not to do bad, and then I do it anyway. My decisions, such as they are, don't result in actions. The moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. Parts of me covertly rebel, and just when I least expect it, they take charge. I tried everything and nothing helped them. At the end of my rope, is there no one who can do anything for me? The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. Sound familiar? We are opposed by the internal battle of the soul and the spirit. We're opposed by the world, its culture, its pressures and temptations. Our biblical worldview, our relationship with the living Jesus Christ is bombarded left, right, center, above, below, 24/7, all the time. We know it. We switch on our TV. It's everywhere. We are opposed. And we're opposed by our enemy with his unswerving, hear me now, his unswerving intention to take us down. Revelation 12:10 says he stands before the throne of God and accuses the brothers and sisters of the Lord day and night, 24/7. Sometimes I've had, and he. Sometimes it's very sneaky, and sometimes he just comes right in your face because he wants to really intimidate you, and he wants to really frighten you, and he wants to make you think, you picked the wrong guy here. So, we're at church about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Numbers, they're all right. They're not great. We're a small church. We're very sensitive to numbers. We miss a couple or three, and we can really feel it in the room and things like that there. But the numbers weren't great, so we have a banner out the front to say we meet in a government facility, and I went to get the banner down, and I'm walking down the drive. Man, that was a good service. Like, the numbers were low, but that was good. The ministry application was the blood of Jesus, and it was just the Spirit was there, and it was good. I'm walking to get the banner. That was really good. Get the banner down, wrap it up under my arm. I'm walking back. And there's a woman coming towards me, and she's got a dog. Now, in our culture, we would rarely, big cities maybe, but if you're walking along a sidewalk or something, you always say hello to somebody. But as she came towards me, she just dropped her head down, and I thought at the last minute she would lift her head. But as we passed, her dog went, "Arf!" got me on the leg, and she went, "Get off that," like that. And she went on. As I walked past her, oh, that dog bit me. It's like it actually broke the skin. It bit me, right? But at that point, it was like, no, 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 no. That, no, 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 no. You just make me more unswerving. Because I ain't going to bend and bow or burn to any intimidation for the enemy. Because I know I'm opposed, but I'm holding on. I'm holding on. I'm just holding on. We're pushing through. I'm holding on. But the reality is, just like in NFL, there are people who train all day long, every day, as they tackle, as they take that down, they are trained to get that hand in and pop it out, punch it out, rip back those arms, get rid of the ball to cause a fumble. It's a fumble, and it is amazing. In rugby, it doesn't happen. You know that sport with real men? It doesn't happen. When you drop the ball, I don't know what's in your ball, right? But when you drop your ball in rugby, it just tends to stay there, right? But in American football, it bobbles about, and then these 6'8" guys jumping on the ball, and it pops up, and it's still fumble, fumble, fumble. And 10 minutes later, it seems, somebody jumps in the ball and secures it. We've all experienced fumble. We, and many, there may be some of us, in fact, there are some of us here. And they've fumbled the ball. That grip on hope, that hanging on, where'd it go? It popped out. That was just one thing, and the ball has slipped out of your hands. What are we going to do about that? What is our response to that? Well, we have a God who is love. And whether that's done by circumstances, or done by our own sin, or done by the pressures of the world and temptation, or done by our soul man rising up, we get a second chance, we get a third chance, we get a fourth chance. We just recover the ball. We pick it up and we hold on and we keep going forward. So any of you that are going, I don't know, it's a lie. Let the Father come and go, that lie is way out of date. And today we're throwing that lie out because there's a present coming. There's a gift coming. And the gift that's coming today is the spirit of hope, unswerving hope, an impartation that we can hold on regardless of what we see, regardless of what we face, regardless of the pressure. Hold on. We hold on to get to our destination. Finally, four very short points from the rest of that passage I shared. Let me read it again. Hebrews 10:23-25. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Number one, spur one another on. We are not alone. If you're here for the first time, this is a place where you're spurred on. Now, the scripture says that word can be provoke, can be incite, stir up, motivate, or stimulate. But it's, come on, we can do this. Hold on. No, you don't want to be running in like that. You want to be holding like this because life's hard and we're opposed. And we make disciples here. And we mature disciples here. And we mobilize disciples here. That's who we are. So if you're here for the first time or the second time and you're thinking, these guys are a little bit intentional and intense. You got us. I'm sorry if the cap fits. Because in order to hold on swervingly, you have to be intense and intelligent. Intentional. Why? Because we're opposed. I'm just going to hold on to the ball. We've got to hold on. It is life and death. He seeks to kill. The evil one comes to kill. Kill. So let's be holding on. Spurred on. Intense and intentional. Stay together. We stay together. Team. T-E-A-M. Together, everyone achieves more. You know that one? Everyone, together, everyone achieves more. It's so encouraging. We're in this together. We're not alone. So we started this thing in DCB. It's so cool. It's absolutely wonderful. It's called 10 for 10. We start at half 10. At 10 o'clock, we call people together for 10 minutes of prayer. Whatever you're doing in the children's ministry, whatever you're doing, we all come together and for 10 minutes, we do worship and we pray. 10 minutes are over at 10:10, John 10:10. We're looking for life in all its fullness, not where the evil wants to kill, steal, and destroy. So we're holding on to that and we're going towards life in all its fullness, 10:10. But they're all together. So a couple of Sundays ago, we have everybody. So Nathan, who comes and plays worship here, he's got a little boy, firstborn in DCB, called Joshua, right? He's standing there 10 for 10. He's shouting during the worship. And he's got his hands up like this here. He's just worshiping. His diaper's sticking over the back of his trousers. He's lost. Gone. Together, everyone achieves more. So that little boy doesn't know how not to worship. took me 30, 40 years to work that one out. He doesn't know any different. I said to his dad, when's the first time you stuck your hands up in the air and just were lost in worship? He said, probably 35. He's over 30 years ahead of his father. Together, everyone achieves more. So, spur one another on. Stay together. Encourage one another. Encourage. 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 Because it's we're opposed. Unswerving hope. And come on, we can do this. We can do this. Get it done. Get it done. And finally, with urgency. It says the very last phrase of that passage, and all the more as you see the day approaching. All the more. Or in other translations, especially. Or in other translations, more earnestly. Or in other translations, urge, as in urgent. One of the things I love about American football is the control of the clock. There's 37 seconds left, and the game should be over. No. Because they catch and they take it out of bounds and they do whatever to get in field goal range, take it down to the last play. The clock's at 2. They snap the ball. He kicks it and he wins the game. But time is running out. We've got to get after it, because if we don't get after it, we miss it. Gift. Marty. Unswerving hope. Today, we're going to release and impart to you an ability to hold on to that tighter, stronger. Whatever your circumstances, you do not bow, you do not bend, you do not burn, because you're holding on and you're holding on tight. Would you stand with me, please? Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. If you're here today and you don't know that reality in your life, this is why you're here. This is why you're in this building. Because Jesus Christ, who is love, who is faithful, who is good, is here wanting a relationship with you. Do you wobble in your hope? Have you fumbled or lost it? Do you need a fresh revelation that God is good, faithful, and love? If you need any of those, if you can say yes to any of those, I would encourage you to come. When we get this sorted out, we're going to worship for a while. And he's going to come. And it's going to be real. A gift to you today. That will give you strength for the furnace that you face. That will give you strength for the obstacles that you're looking at and you don't see a way through. The locked doors. The pile of rubble of what seems to be your life at the moment. Come, let us give you this life and this passion and this love. In Jesus' name.